Today's reading is taken from John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, do have that passage open in front of you if you haven't already. That's chapter 20 of John's Gospel, verses 11 through to 18. Well, we're going to look at that passage now, but before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, please speak to us now as we consider this reading from John's Gospel and excite us to live for you. Amen. Well, now, in our reading today, we see that Jesus did something that no one had ever done before. Now, we know that Jesus died. Lots of people had died before. We know that Jesus came back to life, but we know that Jesus brought Lazarus back to life. So what did Jesus do which no one had ever done before? Well, he came back to life with a body which would last forever. And that's what resurrection means. Resurrection means coming back to life with a body which will last forever.
Well, we loved Tim's actions a couple of weeks ago. We thought they were a really good way of helping us remember the main points of the service. And so our first action today is Jesus resurrection. So we're going to be saying it quite a few times. So if you'd like to have a practice now, that would be wonderful. So stand up. And we're going to say together, Jesus resurrection.
Great. So there we are. This is going to be a bit of a workout this morning, I warn you. So before Jesus came into our world, he was in heaven. Now, I don't know whether you remember, a few weeks ago we had Tim spoke to us about the greatness ladder. And Jesus was not only the greatest right up at the top, but he was in heaven before he came down to earth. And he came down from heaven and he lived with people like you and me. And we saw last week that he was crucified on a cross like this to pay for our sins. And after he was killed and put to death, he was put in a tomb. And I want you to imagine that he was put down in a tomb.
Well, our reading has told us about the first person who saw Jesus alive again, and her name was Mary. Well, there are lots of Marys in the New Testament. This Mary was not Mary, the mother of Jesus, and she wasn't the Mary who was Lazarus and Martha's sister. This Mary, our third Mary, was called Mary Magdalene. And Luke has told us already in his gospel that Jesus had healed Mary from really terrible suffering. After he healed her, she became a follower of his and she loved him enormously. She was even there at the cross when Jesus was crucified. She followed him all the way to death.
Now, after Jesus died, he had been buried And Mary went to his tomb and found that Jesus' body wasn't there. But there were two angels sitting there where Jesus' body had been. And as she was talking to them, something caused her to turn around. And there she saw Jesus. He'd come back to life. But although Mary was standing in front of Jesus, she didn't recognize him. And the reason she didn't recognize him was because his old body, which he had before he died, had been renewed. He now had a resurrection body, which would last forever. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that resurrection bodies have a splendor, have a beauty, which our old bodies don't have.
It was only when Jesus used Mary's actual name that she recognized him. And long before he died, Jesus had said that his sheep, his people, knew his voice. And Mary knew his voice. When she heard it, she realized it was him. He had come back to life. He had been resurrected. So just before you forget it completely, let's do that action one more time. Jesus. Resurrection.
Well, what difference then did that make to Mary? What difference did it make to Mary that Jesus had come back to life? Well, how was Mary feeling at the beginning of our reading? Well, it's mentioned four times in our passage that she was crying. Now, when you cry, you have tears, don't you, which will drop down your face. Mary was crying. And she was crying because she thought that sin and death had won. She was crying because she was sad and upset. She was grieving because Jesus had died.
But I wonder if you can remember what happened in our passage when she realizes that Jesus has come back to life. She stops crying and she's filled with joy. Look at that. That's exactly what Jesus had said would happen before he died. In chapter 16 in Luke's gospel, he said, "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." You see, Jesus' resurrection turns sadness into joy.
So our next action is Jesus' resurrection turned... Well, our next set of words is Jesus' resurrection turns sadness into joy. So we have Jesus' resurrection turns sadness into joy. So, next part of our workout. Jesus' resurrection turns sadness into joy. Jesus' resurrection turned Mary's sadness to joy because he was no longer dead, but alive. And Jesus' resurrection turns our sadness to joy because it means that death is not the end. It's not the end if we are trusting in Jesus. It means that one day, like him, we will come back to life with renewed bodies which will live forever, which will last forever. And Jesus' resurrection means that he has beaten sin and death. And that should turn our sadness into joy.
We know that death is still a horrendous and devastating event. And when my mum was dying, we were devastated. It was a terrible time. We were so sad because we knew that when she died, we wouldn't be able to see each other anymore. And we were really close. But because we both trusted in Jesus, we had the joyful hope of knowing that one day, both of us would come back to life with new bodies, which would last forever. And we would one day see each other again.
And it's not just our bodies which will be renewed, because many of us have been watching the David Attenborough series, Extinction, and a number of people have said to me how sad it's made them. They've watched it, and they've seen creation being ruined, and the program offering them little hope. Now, brothers and sisters, we must look after God's creation, and we shouldn't damage and destroy it. But our reading tells us not only that Jesus received a new resurrection body, but it tells us that one day God will make the whole creation new. not just human bodies, but the whole world. So Jesus' resurrection should turn our sadness at what we see around us into joy. So let's do that action again. Jesus' resurrection turns sadness into joy. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you beat sin and death when you died on the cross and rose from the dead. Please may we have joy in our hearts at the prospect of our resurrection and at the prospect that you will one day make all things new. Amen. Thank you, Rob and Tom. Well, Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. And he came back to life with a body which would last forever. But he didn't stay here on earth. No, he went back up to be with his Father in heaven. In our reading, Jesus says he would return to heaven. And in fact, the word is ascend. Now, ascension is a long word which simply means go up, go up. So Jesus' ascension means he went back up to heaven to be with his dad.
Oh, it's my turn again. It must be time for another action. So we've had Jesus' resurrection turns sorrow to joy. We're now going to learn a new action, which is Jesus' ascension. You can actually do that one sitting down for now. So, Jesus ascension.
Okay, now, I wonder if you could get hold of a piece of paper or the envelope that is on your... Don't open the envelopes yet. I want you to write down on a piece of paper that you've got, or the envelope, the names of your brothers and sisters, and just put the number next to them. Could you do that? If you haven't got a piece of paper to hand, don't worry. Just think of those names. What are the names of your brothers and sisters, and what is the number of them? How many have you got? Now, if that seems a strange thing to ask you to do, this is going to seem even stranger. Can you write down, first of all, the name of your dad? And can you just write down a number? How many dads do you have? Put the number next to it. And finally, I want you to write down the name, or think of the name of the most powerful person you know. Now, I wonder what you wrote or what you have been thinking. How many of you, perhaps I shouldn't ask you this, it's a put your hands up, but I just wonder, how many wrote down that Jesus was one of your brothers? You did. Well, that's great. Fantastic. Do you see how in our reading, Jesus calls people who believe in him his brothers? So if we believe in Jesus, Jesus is our brother. He's not a nasty, big, bullying brother. He's one who loves you enough to die for you.
And we also wondered how many people would write down that they had two dads. You have a dad here in this world, and you have a dad in heaven. In our reading, Jesus told his brothers, that was people like us who trust in him, that he's going to return to heaven. And he says he's going to ascend to my Father and your Father.
Now, I wonder how many wrote down that God is the most powerful person you know. Well, here's the thing. The most powerful person you know is also your dad in heaven. And your big brother who loves you is with him all the time. That's quite a thought, isn't it?
So the amazing thing about Jesus' ascension is that it brings us into his family. So this is our final action. We can put it all together. Jesus' ascension brings us into his family. Let's go from Jesus' ascension. Jesus' ascension brings us into his family.
So what does that mean for us? Well, it means not just that God is all-powerful, but he is your Father who loves you. And many of the world's religions talk of a God who is powerful, but they don't talk of a God who is our Father. Our God is our Father, and we can speak to him because of his Son, Jesus.
Well, this is a photo, which is quite a famous photo, but really illustrates this point well. If you're above a certain age, you'll recognize the man at the desk. He's John F. Kennedy, President of the United States at some point in the 1960s, and the most powerful man in the world. And this picture is taken in the Oval Office in the White House, so the center of power. But if you look under the desk, there's a little boy there, his son. He's under the desk right close to his dad. He can speak to him whenever he wants. He can get to him at any point. And God is a little bit like that. He's all powerful, but we're a little bit like the boy under the desk. He's our Father. We're his children, and we have the incredible privilege of being able to talk to him and have access to him day and night, every day, every night, because Jesus, his son, is with him in heaven.
One of the ways we can do that is by using our family prayer, the Lord's Prayer. The first line is, Our Father in heaven. Our Father, well, our, because we all have the same Father. Our Father, because he's not just a distant, powerful God, but our dad. And we say in heaven because he's our Father, but he is the most powerful person we know. So brothers and sisters, I know that many of us struggle to find time to pray day by day, but why not try to get into the habit of saying the Lord's Prayer every day, the family prayer, the prayer that prays to God our Father through Jesus the Son. Think about what it means. Pause over each line, making it yours. Now in a minute we're going to say that prayer, and the words will come up on the screen, but before we say the prayer together, let's just do those actions right from the start once more. And I'm going to ask you to stand up this time. Tamsin was kind to you. So let's start right at the beginning. Jesus' resurrection turns sorrow into joy. And Jesus' ascension brings us into his family. Sorry, I got lost. Let's pray. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to have activities. So, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.